Good morning and welcome to Lighthouse on the last day of 2017. Now, as we look back at this year from a news standpoint, it was memorable. Globally, you had North Korea launching missiles to numerous terrorist attacks in Europe. Nationally, we had and elected a new president, Donald Trump, to racial tensions, to the Las Vegas shooting. Environmentally, we had the devastating hurricanes in the Gulf region, and just the wildfires tearing through California. And on the lighter side, we had the solar eclipse and the iPhone 10 debuting at over $1,000. And lastly, to the ridiculous, two words, LeVar Ball. Okay. But so as we end one year, and as we start anew, when the elders thought it'd be good to go through a brief four-part preaching series titled Pathways of Grace. We as believers want to set ourselves in places where God tells us from his word where we'll best experience his grace in our lives. As we know, grace is a free gift. A grace is something that cannot be earned, it's freely given. For a Christian, the most important grace in our lives is the gift of salvation because of Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. But God's grace permeates every second of our lives because it goes from the salvation to being able to do everything, everyday things like walking, swallowing, and breathing. These are graces as well. In our four-part series, our hope is that you'll see life differently as a result of God's grace. We'll talk about the grace of God's word. The next week after that, we'll talk about the grace of the community of God found in the church. And we'll end the series by talking about the grace of fasting. And good thing we'll hear that message after the holiday season of all of our food and eating. But this morning, we're going to be talking about the grace of communicating with God in prayer. So our hope is that through this sermon series, we'll be encouraged to position ourselves heart and mind so that we'll be more attuned to God's grace in our lives. But before jumping into our discussion on prayer, I want to briefly touch on the tension between relying on God's grace while at the same time putting the effort to know God. There's a belief among some Christians that since reading the Bible and prayer is God's grace, then reading and praying is optional, since a person can't earn it. Unfortunately, this leads to Christians having the mistaken belief that they don't have to be disciplined and work hard to be with God. The thought is, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite and come to God when I don't feel like it. But there will be days when none of us will feel like it. So what are we to do then? Hopefully the next sentence will bring clarity to this tension. It is this: we as Christians are opposed to working to gain our faith, but we are not opposed to working to grow our faith. The first part is what we're in opposition to: gaining salvation, gaining God's attention and approval by doing religious traditions. The second part hopefully describes our attitude for the sermon series. We want to work hard and be devoted to reading the word and praying because it is in these pathways where God pours out his grace upon us. We're not working to earn. Rather, we're working to position ourselves to love God and to love others more. And in that, in of itself, is a grace. So even when we don't feel like reading the Bible and praying, so when we get up and turn off the TV and put down our phones to read and pray, that is God's grace being worked out in our lives. And where does this come from biblically? The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he says this: "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." Remember, we as Christians are opposed to working to gain our faith, but we are not opposed to working to grow our faith. God wants you to be in his pathways of grace. And so hopefully starting tomorrow will be a wonderful year of growth in your relationship with God as you discipline yourselves to knowing Him. So let us start with the exciting and precious gift of prayer. I'm sure at the very mention of the word prayer, there may be a tinge of guilt, because we as Christians know we're commanded to pray. We know that it's good for us. We know that it's a way to bless others, encourage others. And I know this for our church family, that I don't need to defend the legitimacy of prayer, because I know all of you understand the importance of it. But if I ask you the question, how's your prayer life? Almost every one of you would not be satisfied with it, myself included. This would be our reaction, because what we believe about prayer doesn't always match up with our everyday lives. So my hope this morning is not to tell you about what prayer is or how prayer works, but I want us to focus on what does it mean to grow a prayerful heart. I want to talk about our motivations. What does it mean to develop a life where prayer moves from non-existence into a vital part of your life, from duty to delight, from knowing about God to knowing God, from something you know you should do to something you want to do, from rote repetition to a personal, loving, and close relationship with the living God. That is a glimpse of how prayer can be a pathway of grace and where we're heading in this message. So if you're one of those who prays occasionally, or maybe you pray little, or maybe you've stopped praying, my prayer in preparation for this message has been that God will give you a fresh outlook on this beautiful gift, and that you'll leave this morning wanting to pray to your Heavenly Father. As I was working on this message, though, I was thinking, who from the Bible besides Jesus can we look to as an example of a person who longing and wanting to be so close to God? And the person I thought of was King David. He was a man close to God. He was a king, but he also grew up as an ordinary guy, as a shepherd. He was a man after God's own heart, but he was also a man filled with sin. He was a man who knew extreme joys, but he was also a man who knew extreme pains. But through all the stages of life, David was consistent in wanting to know and live for God. And this led me to Psalm 63, a psalm David wrote. In my Bible, the psalm is titled, "My Soul Thirsts for You." An Old Testament scholar said this about the psalm: "There may be other psalms that equal this outpouring of devotion, few, if any, that surpass it." So it is here that I will ask you to turn in your Bibles as we learn what it means to cultivate a life where we can grow prayerful hearts. But before reading that psalm, let me just give you a real brief background. King David reigns the nation of Israel from 1010 to 970 BC. And unfortunately for King David, he's not writing the psalm from the comforts of his palace in Jerusalem. Rather, he's hastily trying to escape his son Absalom, who set up a rival kingship and was coming to finalize his plan of dethroning his father. King David, along with his loyal followers, fled to the wilderness, the desert. And it is this life and death situation where he writes Psalm 63. So let us take a look at this psalm. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I've looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. What we'll see as we take a closer look at the psalm are three characteristics of growing a prayerful heart. So let's take a look at the first characteristic now. The first characteristic is a prayerful heart desires God. A prayerful heart desires God. The dictionary defines desire as to long or hope for. There's a connection I'm making between our desires and the Christian word worship. You worship something or someone, so therefore you desire it. The Bible tells us every single human is a worshiper, therefore we desire. The question is, who or what do we desire in order to worship? Our desires impact our choices, decisions, and life. Take, for example, an intern at a company she loves. She loves the vision, the colors, the logo, the environment, so therefore her desire is to work for the company full-time. Her desire is focused on doing everything possible to impress her boss. Her lifestyle thus changes to do everything and anything to show that she is a great quality for a full-time position. She gets there early, stays late, answers texts and emails at all hours. She doesn't hang out with her friends in the evening and weekends anymore because she's so busy working on work projects. And she's exhausted each and every night. This is an example of how one's desires and worship can have such a huge impact on a person's life. Let's transition that thought, though, to us as Christians, where we are to worship God. He is to be our desire. He is to be our longing. He is to be our hope. Therefore, everything we do should reflect that. And this is what we see in King David's life. He establishes from verse 1 who he desires. O God, you are my God. King David worships God and his desires to always be in a close and personal relationship with him. David's relationship with God sustains and feeds his life. There's no other relationship that he worships. It begins with God and ends with God. Therefore, his actions represent that desire. David likens his desire to be with God as a person who has no water in the desert. This person's search is desperate. This is the type of desperation David has in his heart for God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. David knows a person walking in the desert without water will die. And without God, he will die. Do we live our lives with that mantra? Without God, I will die. I know I don't, and this is why my desire is so weak when it comes to God, in particular in prayer. But with other things that this world offers, my desire is so strong. Without knowing the latest Laker news, I will die. Without tasting the newest restaurant, I will die. Without gaining the approval of him or her, I will die. We worship idols and not the true and living God. David's desire, though, is so intense for God because he's lived full spectrum of life. He didn't have much as a shepherd to having everything as a king. And David knows the truth. There is nothing in all of creation that will fulfill the longing of a human heart except God. We'll share more about this in the second characteristic about God's love, but realize if you've personally experienced God's love, then you should desire to be with him. And one of the main ways you'll want to be with him is through prayer. Without God, I will die. Is the heart of a man or woman where prayer is vital, is real, and personal. As mentioned, when we worship other things, prayer falls by the wayside and it leads to a common excuse and challenge for why we don't pray, and it's, I'm too busy. This is probably the number one reason why people give for why they don't pray, and it's probably very true. For many of us, we are too busy. Our business is connected with what we've been talking about, worship and desire. In a nutshell, we're too busy because we're desiring and worshiping the wrong things. We've taken on too much because of our wrong worship. We're misusing our time because of wrong worship. We believe that time, money, talent, and determination is all we need to succeed in life. Realize that each person, including Jesus, when he lived on earth, was given the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. What we worship is where we'll use our time. For example, even though we're dead tired, we'll still stay up late to watch that thing on Netflix. Or we'll get up early, even though we're so tired, to go snowboarding or surfing or fishing. So we must change who or what we're worshiping and place God back at the center of our hearts. And here are two quick applications if you struggle with, I'm too busy. The first is this, just make a list of who or what you are worshiping that is taking the place of God, and genuinely confess your sin before him. The second, evaluate your daily routine. We're all creatures of habit, and what are the things that you do that are time wasters or idle enhancers? Switch those out with a time of prayer. And it could be simple as just doing your daily routine, like as you drive and commute to work, is keeping the radio off for 15 minutes and just using that time to pray. Or maybe in the midst of washing dishes, instead of venting over your to-do list, is take that time just to pray. Think about your everyday routine and how can you switch out things to be able to speak with God. Remember, a prayerful heart desires God because he is better than life itself. The second characteristic, a praying heart delights in God. A praying heart delights in God. A person who delights in another person loves being in relationship with him or her. One memory from this Christmas season that I'll always remember is having my two daughters enjoy their time with their grandparents. You know, last week on Christmas Eve, after service, we spent time at my parents' home, and my daughters followed their grandparents around the house in our backyard, asking questions like this. Do you want to play with me? Can I see? Can I help? Can we harvest fruits and vegetables? What are we going to do? Can I tell you something? And just as my girls delight in being with their grandparents, the feeling is the same for my mom and dad. There are these questions that my parents love to hear from their grandkids, and unfortunately, questions that we as parents get tired of hearing. I guess that's the wisdom as a grandparent, being able to delight in doing everyday things with two little ones they love. This is why my girls will always choose spending time with their grandparents nearly over anything, except maybe Disneyland. But the best is Disneyland with their grandparents. But just as my girls delight in being with their grandparents, this should be the same type of delight that leads us to want to pray to God. This delight is evident in David's words. For verses 4 and 5 speak about David being satisfied with God. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich foods, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. David's life circumstances don't matter. In happiness or running for his life from his own son, there's always delight in being with God. Why? Because God has always been David's helper and protector. Verse 7 says, "For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy." The beginning of verse 8 says, "My soul clings to you." But the key to delighting in God is that God draws us to himself when we delight in him in prayer. Because the second part of verse 8 says, "Your right hand upholds me." Do you understand that? It's God who's upholding David. It's God who's actually drawing David closer to him. Have you ever thought about the formula for building a good friendship or marriage? Okay. It's this. Simply, it's spending time together, having no agenda, and being able to share openly and honestly. These are the types of relationships where there is great delight, because this is the type of environment where closeness happens, where you begin to understand one another. But I read this: efficiency, multitasking, and business all kill intimacy. You can't really get to know another person or God with passing pleasantries. Many of us are great at being efficient. Many of us are awesome multitaskers, and we're all productively busy. But maybe in our strengths, it has killed what our souls need most: relationships. And more specifically, time to spend growing a relationship with God in prayer. Maybe we don't delight in being with God in prayer because we've forgotten who he is. To help us remember who he is, I'd like to draw our attention to a word Jesus used when speaking to God. He used the word Abba. It's similar to our word daddy or papa. And to us today, it doesn't seem like much, but in biblical times, no one ever spoke about God in such an intimate way before. God was always seen as distant and never someone you could be so personal with. But Jesus changed all of that. Jesus' first words, recorded when he was about 12 years old, says this: "Did you not know that I must be in my Abba's house?" Jesus' first words on the cross to his father is, "Abba, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And Jesus' last words are, "Abba, into your hands I commit my spirit." I share this with you because, do you see God as a distant God, or as your heavenly Father who wants to hear your questions, your concerns, who wants to spend time with you in this, the mundane of life? Just as a child loves being with his or her daddy or granddaddy, so too we must not forget that there is great delight in our Heavenly Father wanting to be with us. This sounds great, but another reason why we don't pray goes something along these lines. I just don't feel anything when I pray. If I'm honest, prayer seems like a waste of time. Maybe why we don't feel anything is because we treat God as a to-do list item. It's like when you're having a conversation with someone you look up to, and they're looking at the clock or looking past you. You don't leave that conversation feeling like you've connected. That's how much of our prayer times are like, except we're the ones looking at the clock or looking past God. So what can help us? Let's look at verse 3. "Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you." David's desire for God is so intense because he's experienced and delighted in God's love so personally and intimately. He knows that everything else offered by the world still leaves his soul empty except God's loving presence. In the midst of running for his life and having the weight of responsibility for everyone else who's on the run with him, he could still praise God, because even if his life was taken, God's love would still be there as he entered into heaven. This is a Bible verse. There is a Bible verse in the book of Romans that captures this truth about God's love being the motivating factor in our desire and delight in God. It says, "For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor power, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." One reason why we don't pray, and when we do pray, it seems like a waste of time, is because we don't delight in Jesus. I'm sure you haven't forgotten the gospel and what Jesus has done for you theoretically, but have you forgotten the gospel and what Jesus has done for you personally? Because this is what the Apostle John was warning the church in Ephesus in the book of Revelation about. He said, "But I have this against you, that you've abandoned the love you had at first." Have we abandoned our first love? Have we forgotten the feeling of guilt over our sins? Have we forgotten the joy and freedom from our shame? Have you honestly shared with God your sins, your shortcomings, your fears, or your disappointments? Have you confessed your sins of wrong, worship, and pride? Have you shared your joys with God and delighted in Him? When we do so, this is the environment where prayer will be a delight because we're remembering God and the gospel, our first love. So let us have a heart that desires God. Let us have a heart that delights in God. And now we come to our last characteristic. A praying heart depends on God. A praying heart depends on God. Let me describe a scenario and try and imagine what your reaction would be. It's Friday afternoon, and you're on your way to an important work meeting, and you thought you left with more than enough time to get there, but you're stuck in traffic. As each minute passes, as you take a look at the dash, you feel the anxiety welling up within you. Your thumb starts to tap the steering wheel a little faster, and you know if you're late to this meeting that there will be consequences. And the meeting can't run long because you have to sprint back to pick up the kids from school, then go to the market and make dinner for your friends that are coming over later that evening. Okay. The details may be different in your life, but we've all had days like this. So what is your first response as you sit in traffic? A, open up Waze and figure out how to get to your meeting sooner? B, just become a pressure cooker waiting to explode? C, start making phone calls to cover all the things that you need to do to get covered? D, just give up, drive home, pop in a microwave burrito, and turn on the TV? Or E, pray? You know, the purpose of this scenario is to demonstrate that we know that prayer should be the proper response for us as Christians, yet it's not the first thing we do when challenging moments come up in our lives. Why? The difficulty arises when our sinful nature as humans tells us to be independent. You can see this desire to be independent from the youngest of toddlers to the oldest of adults. And spiritually speaking, this is why prayer is so difficult. Prayer goes against who we are and what we've been taught. Our culture has taught us to be independent and figure things out on your own. And this leads to people not wanting to follow Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And for those of us who are Christians, it makes having a dependent and obedient heart to God difficult. But do you know what prayer does? It says this: prayer is a declaration of dependence, not independence. Because every time we pray, we're declaring that we are incapable of doing anything. We depend on you, God. So how did one of the most powerful men of his time react when his life and nation were in jeopardy? King David prayed and reminded himself who his faith was placed in. He reminded himself who God is, the God of the Bible, who is against those who rebel and demand to live an independent life apart from him. And that made David turn to God. But what brings David comfort is that there will be vindication in his life as he turns to him. Because there are others who are speaking lies. There are others who are doing injustice. There are others who are acting violently against him. But not only are they acting violently against David, but more importantly, they're acting in violence against God. For verses 8 or 9 and 10 say, "But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals." But the key is verse 11. "But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult." King David is going to live a life dependent upon God, regardless of what happens, and this brings him great joy. This sounds great, but there's one last question we have to touch on for why it's so difficult to pray, and it's this: does prayer really work? We as Christians know that the Bible teaches that God wants us to pray and that he hears and answers each and every prayer. And I asked the staff their thoughts on how to answer this question, and Pastor Matt Powell said, "Something else to consider is the way God answers. I think Ed Welch said something like, God answers prayers that are never really no, but is either a yes or a I've got something better in mind for you. In other words, it means trusting that however God answers is always for our best and for his glory, even if it's not necessarily what we might want in that moment. You know, we trust that God hears and answers our prayers, but the question arises when our nature tells us to do something. Our minds tell us, do the prayer thing really quick to calm yourself down and then get to solving the problem. Paul Miller, the author of the book, A Praying Life, said, "Time in prayer makes you even more dependent on God because you don't have as much time to get things done. Every minute spent in prayer is one less minute where you can be doing something productive. So the act of praying means that you really have to rely more on God." Will we depend and trust on our sovereign, loving, and good God to take care of us? Or will we depend upon ourselves? Unfortunately, many of us choose to depend on ourselves, and this leads to busyness, overwork, physical problems, sleepless nights, thinking about how are we going to solve our problems. But what does King David do? He says in verse 6 and the beginning of verse 7, "When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help." King David prays by turning his thoughts to God. During times of worry and sleeplessness, will you take those moments to remember God in prayer? Yes, prayer really does work because God says he hears us and will answer us. But we get in the way when we depend on ourselves. Remember, when we pray, God allows his children to grow in dependence upon him, a reliance upon him to provide. He wants our faith and our relationship to grow. Not only individually, but God wants us to grow and depend on him as a church family as well. So beginning in January, we'll be having once a month prayer gatherings that we can be updated on ministries and hear from different people. Then we can pray for them and for us. And this is the first one will be on Tuesday, January 9th. And the focus will be on evangelism. But all the subsequent months will be Tuesday evenings just to come on out and just pray together as we together say, we depend upon you, God, not upon ourselves. So I'd encourage you to attend those prayer gatherings. So a prayerful heart depends on God. You know, as I prepared for this message, there was a morning where I wanted to spend a chunk of time in prayer with God, and I was looking so forward to it. But the time was spent with my mind wandering, me losing concentration, me asking the question, where should I start? And at the end, feeling like it was a waste of time. But it's not because God wasn't around or I wasn't holy enough to garner God's attention. God was there, and he was teaching me about my distracted heart. The basic message was, I'm trying to keep things in order on the outside of my life, but my heart is in chaos, and that's why I need him. God answered my prayer with a truth I wasn't looking for that morning. And that is what grace looks like in prayer. He speaks to us and tells us that we need him. So as we embark upon a new year, may we all remind ourselves of the precious gift given to us in prayer, and that our relationship with God will deepen this year because we're all so needy. So let us remember that the ultimate motivation to pray is knowing Jesus. Remember, the only reason why we can speak to God directly is only because of Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross. The reason why prayer is such a priceless grace is because of the cost was Jesus' life. He gave his life to not only save us from our sins, but to allow us to call our God, Daddy. So let us cherish prayer by having a heart that desires God, that delights in God, and depends on God. And as we close this message, I'm going to ask us to just take some moments of being able to pray silently on your own and think about one of those three areas as the worship team comes forward. You know, desiring God, or depending on God, or delighting on God. May you spend time thinking about that and come to the Lord with your heart. And may this be the beginning of a wonderful year where we come to him in prayer. So may you have a blessed time as we pray together. So may we bow our heads and pray silently to the Lord.